Good afternoon. I'd also like to acknowledge that we are on the land of the Whadjuk people and pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. Today I'm going to speak about a case study of increasing uptake of early medical abortions by removing barriers in the Northern Territory. So we know from a lot of research done both in Australia and internationally that early medical abortions are safe, they're effective, they're acceptable to women, they're cost effective, but uptake in Australia remains low. And as Deb mentioned, the data around this is pretty poor, but estimates are between 15 and 25% of abortions in Australia are early medical abortions. So this is much lower than in some other countries, particularly European and Northern European countries, where it's up to 80 to 90% of abortions. So why is it so low in Australia? Well, there are lots of barriers, many of which have been described, particularly in rural areas, but a major one in Australia is cost. Part of the reason for this is there's no MBS item for early medical abortions, which are often provided by GPs. So GPs are reliant on time-based item numbers, which aren't sufficient for the complexity of the consultations and the amount of time needed to provide early medical abortions. And that means that GPs are often, and service providers are often needing to charge large out-of-pocket costs to women, which can make it quite difficult. So in the Northern Territory prior to 2017, we also had a legal barrier to providing early medical abortions. So while surgical abortions had been legal and freely available for some time in the Northern Territory, early medical abortions were prohibited by some intricacies of the legislation. After quite a sustained campaign, this legislation was changed, and the Health Minister also committed to providing early medical abortions for free in the Northern Territory, which was very much appreciated, and we hope that it continues. So for some context of the Northern Territory, it's a pretty small population. There's only 250,000 people over a large area, approximately the size of France and Germany. And 60% of that population is in the Greater Darwin area. Another 10% is down in Alice Springs, and the other 30% are sort of scattered among Katherine, Tennant Creek, Nhulunbuy, and remote communities. In the Northern Territory, around a quarter of the population identifies Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, but in the Greater Darwin area, this is only around 9%. So because of that population distribution, and also because when early medical abortions were legalised and undertaken to be provided for free, there were some restrictions placed on where they could be provided. So only within 2 hours' drive of emergency gynaecological services were the restrictions put in place. And so the decision was made to fund family planning to provide early medical abortions free of charge in the Greater Darwin area. And the funding provided was pretty minimal, $170 per client, and that needed to include the prescription costs, so the co-payment of the PBS cost, so that it was 100% free. The government also allowed women to access the patient transport services, so anyone from outside that region could access transport and accommodation in town to have an early medical abortion. So this really allowed us to compare the proportion of women who would choose an early medical abortion versus a surgical abortion, where both were provided for free of charge, which is a situation which hasn't occurred in very many places in Australia. And it also allowed us to obviously compare before and after the changes. So family planning did some awareness raising of the new service. What was done in the community was pretty minimal, so it was really on the back of the campaign for the change in legislation, and there was a reasonable amount of media coverage for that. So there was some community awareness, but much of the awareness raising was done with healthcare providers and with GPs in particular. So education events were done around the Northern Territory in conjunction with the PHN. Talks were done at large practices, particularly a lot of bulk billing practices. A health pathway was developed with the PHN, and we had lots of meetings with stakeholders, including at the hospital, radiology providers, etc. So before the change, we had really poor data. The latest we had was between 2006 and 2011, and that showed about 900 abortions a year in the Northern Territory, 85% of which were done in Darwin. We don't know much more about them than that. We do know that 100% of them were done in hospitals, and there were zero early medical abortions in the community. With the legislation change, abortions also became reportable, so we did get some good data. And this is the prescribed reporting form that the Northern Territory Government requires everybody to fill out when they provide an abortion. So that includes the woman's date of birth, gestational age, the local government area where she lives, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander status, and the type of abortion provided. And there's also a tick box there to say that they've been informed to stay within a two-hour driving limit of the provision. Family Planning also set up a database at this time, and we collected demographic data, clinical data, just a limited amount, and some follow-up data. And this was mostly for quality assurance, to check that we weren't having any different outcomes from anyone else in who are providing early medical abortions, and lo and behold, we were not. So what was interesting, though, was that in the first 12 months of the service, there were 742 abortions provided in the Northern Territory, and 541 of those were early medical abortions, which is, shows that within 12 months, the uptake of early medical abortions was much higher than most of the rest of Australia. Of those, 79% were provided at Family Planning NT, so entirely free of charge. Of the other 112, 70 were provided in Alice Springs, so there was a provision made to provide them from the hospital in Alice Springs. A handful were done in Catherine Nolomboy and with other providers in Darwin, including Danila Dilba, which is the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service, which was also providing them for free. So how did people find out about this new service, given there was such a high uptake in the first 12 months? I need to go back. But 72% of clients were referred by their GP. So I guess that showed that engaging with GPs was helpful, and GPs were certainly happy to send us their patients. What do we know about who accessed the service? Well, 87% of the people were living in Darwin or Palmerston, so that's the Greater Darwin area, and that's compared with 73% in the data overall. 11% of our clients identified as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, compared with 20% in the abortion data overall. So what does this all tell us? Well, I think it tells us that if early medical abortions are well-funded and available in the community setting, women are likely to choose this option. Also, if you can provide good pathways into the service, it can be taken up pretty quickly. So I guess it also tells us that we need to advocate for similar models elsewhere. That could be done at, family planning clinics, sexual health clinics, well-established women's health clinics, which allow for wraparound contraception services, or it could be done by providing appropriate MBS item numbers so that GPs are able to provide the service in an affordable way. It also tells us that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and women from remote areas are underrepresented in accessing early medical abortions. So we had 11% of our clients identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. That is quite similar to the 9% who identify as such, who live in the Greater Darwin area. But given the availability of transport and accommodation, that's still reasonably low. We don't know why this is. So is this because of a lack of awareness? Is it because of the time taken to arrange investigations, particularly in remote areas? And does that push people over the gestational limit available for medical abortions? Or is it because of preference? So anecdotally, we've had lots of stories of women feeling quite isolated, having a medical abortion in town in accommodation by themselves. And certainly this is the next step that we need to take, looking at qualitative research into the barriers to this, looking at co-design to extend the service into remote areas and trying to lift those barriers on the 2-hour driving limit that we have so that people can access the service potentially closer to home if they wish to. The other focus going forward is why women are choosing early medical abortions. So is it because the wait time is less? Is it because surgical abortions are only provided once a fortnight? So that they're obviously there's a larger waiting time than there is for early medical abortions, which people can access on the day of their appointment. Is it because of privacy concerns? Darwin and the Northern Territory are small places, so surgical abortions and accessing the hospital can be a cause of privacy concerns for many people. Or is it because, of all the good reasons that we know that they're less medicalised, more convenient, people can fit them around their lives? So a lot of work for us to do in terms of improving the service, but a good news story in terms of being able to implement the service quite quickly. And our preliminary data from the second year show us a similar story. So I'd just like to thank the PHN who helped us get the word out there, the NT Department of Health for their funding, and particularly the Women's Health Policy Officers and the advocates who fought for the changes. Thank you.